Welcome back. Roll Route. Hank Vogler, Trent Luce alongside. Okay, I'm going to go with the easy one first, and then we'll go to the one that's probably going to consume more time, because I did remember the two things about the 34 Taylor Grazing Act. There's no mention of the wild feral horses in the 34 Taylor Grazing Act, and somehow or another that's become a major consumer of property and resources throughout the state of Nevada and all of the West, Hank.
Well, there were lots of horse permits in Eastern Oregon. Those guys had horse permits all the way up to when they come out with the Wild Horse and Burro Act. And those guys, well, they had horses and they had horse permits. And you could tell, you could drive through the country. Some of them were workhorses. Some of them were percherons. Some of them were, you know, other breeds of workhorses, and Appaloosas and Pintos, and everybody had their group and everybody had their country. Yeah, there in Nevada, why they had so many horses is because the federal government gave them remount studs to supply to the armed services.
Right. They were considered livestock. I think there was a million head of
horses in the Second World War.
Yeah, my point was they were considered livestock.
Yes.
Not wild feral horses.
No. And if you had a breeding program, the last thing you would allow is some knot-headed Mustang that had got away from somebody to show up on your broodmares. He would either get caught or get a bullet. They wanted specific results. The same if you run, you know, I remember when the neighbor had Angus bulls and they got in on my grandfather's Hereford cows, and those black bally calves were absolutely verboten. They were horrible. They sold for 10 cents a pound less. Everybody wanted specific results. The feeders in the Midwest wanted Herefords, Angus, Shorthorns. That's what they fed, period. And any cross of that was no way, Jose. Same way with horses. Yeah, livestock.
Absolutely. That's been... I mean, if they truly want to enact upon the 1934 Taylor Grazing Act, then they need to follow through and get the horses in a management of people, not mismanagement by the government, period.
They've ruined thousands and thousands of acres. Ruined them. Gone forever. And I could even venture to guess or maybe pontificate that part of my country was purposely overgrazed and allowed to get as high as 6,000 head of horses on a permit that was supposed to have 155 to get rid of me.
That's no conspiracy. That's active and underway.
Yep.
Okay, the biggest one. It clearly says in the 1934 Taylor Grazing Act that the person, the stockman is the word it's used, the stockman, yep, to receive these permits is to be a citizen of the United States or working at becoming a citizen of the United States. Where is the Southern Nevada Water Authority qualifying as a citizen or a citizen to be in progress in order to be a part of the grazing system?
Does the term Harry Reid, Senator, Majority Leader?
Harry Reid was not included in the 1934 Taylor Grazing Act.
Oh, I'll be darned. How'd that happen?
And by the way,
Chris Mayer in Ely, Nevada, called the adjutant general or whoever their mouthpiece, the lawyers are, and said, can they actually hold a permit? They don't qualify. He hung up the phone and he said, I'm sure he won't say it in public anymore, but he said the guy told him right there, you're right. They cannot hold a permit. They can own a ranch that has permits, but they have to lease them out to a private individual who is a citizen or has had made the application. I was an altar boy. They'd have a party all night when somebody got his citizenship papers to Basco because his permits were all of a sudden good. Number one Basco. They were on a chair being hauled around the room. Yeah. And Southern Nevada Water Authority. Chris Mayer told me personally that he just hung the phone up and it rang. Picked it up, It was Bob Abbey, who was the acting head of the BLM. And he said, you will issue those permits to Southern Nevada Water Authority. Now, whether you can collaborate that or not, it happened. Everybody knows it happened. And moving on, they've been here since 2007, almost 20 years.
And this extends beyond just Nevada and Southern Nevada Water Authority. And a lot of the reason I started reading the 34 Taylor Grazing Act today is because of what's happening in Montana with the American Prairie Reserve, which is now APR, which is a nonprofit organization based out of the East Coast who wants to have 3.2 million contiguous acres. The Bureau of Land Management recently ruled that they cannot run their bison for recreational purposes on the Bureau of Land Management land, so consequently their permits are null and void. Something troubles me greatly about saying that you cannot have property on this land because they are grazers for not a, a profitable use. But what I do clearly see is that a nonprofit organization is not and will not become a citizen of the United States, which means it is in violation of any permit for Secretary of Interior land or Department of Interior land at the guise under the issue of the Secretary of Interior.
Give the man a cigar, he can be taught. Even if you are a corporation, which is supposedly a way around all this stuff in the gray area, it specifically says that every member of the corporation have to be a citizen or application for citizenship. There is, even to this day, I know of nothing that allows non-human beings to be a grazer. They can own an allotment. They can own water rights. They can, but they can't use them. They're not supposed to use them. They can rent them out. In fact, the Nevada Department of Wildlife, over their purchases of ranches with their money, that's huge. When a desert bighorn sheep tag sells for $300,000, that tells you that there's a lot of money behind their magic moves. They're trading land with SNWA right now. And one state agency can trade land with another state agency, but Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation saying they're part of it, but Endow at least leases out their allotments that they have acquired through buying ranches. But guess who they lease them to? Southern Nevada Water Authority. Imagine that.
Well, I'm going to continue to dig and bring awareness to this. So just wanted to walk through that with you.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
And it's worth noting, Hank, that every part of the 1934 Taylor Grazing Act is under the guise of the Department of Interior.
Yes.
Which means it does not include Forest Service land.
No, Forest Service land was laws passed in Congress setting up the Forest Reserve. It's a completely different animal.
What's going on with your labor situation? Aren't you
well, curious? I'm probably the last guy to the party, so maybe this is all old news. I just found out some fellows went back to Washington, D.C. to talk to the folks at the Department of Labor. I think the lady that is now head of it is Hispanic, Olivas or something like that. They're self-funding. Which interpreted self-funding means when they come to Trent Luce's house to shake him down over the one sheep herder he's
they
got or go
find
to
find so they can fund themselves.
So they can fund themselves. You're going to get fined. There is no way around it. And so it was a miracle that in 2015, I didn't get fined, but I had all the pickups lined out in front of the house when they came after me the last time, based on Southern Nevada Water Authority's foreman or whatever his title was, lying to the Department of Labor. He also called an ambulance and the sheriff and said, my men were so abused and so mistreated, they were starving. I mean, that's how they work. And then they came and shook me down. Beds were 5 inches too close to the floor. All the pickups passed muster. Every one of them. I had them lined up. They said I was uncooperative. How can you be uncooperative when all the pickups that we need and use are lined up? 5 inches too close to four. The horse's water was too close to camp. It might become stagnant. However, the horse consumed the water right in front of them. And the other one was the 4-pound bag of rice was partially emptied into the sealed container. The rest of it wouldn't fit. So he wrapped the sack around itself, tied it with a string, and put it in a drawer. And we had two Sebastian Bacarizos, a father and son, same name. The father decided he didn't like working on a sheep outfit in eastern Nevada. He slipped out the door, went over to Utah, got with his relatives. They got him back to Peru. We turned him in. But the Department of Labor thought it was the boy, not the father. It was the other way around. So we were also added to the list because we didn't report him in 3 days. Well, we reported the correct Sebastian Bacarizo the first time. So yeah, they fined me $42,662.20. Very accurate. So I hire a lawyer. I've paid him.
We're going to hire a lawyer when we come back. And there seems to be a lot of this going on. Hank has hired a lawyer. By the way, it's been me, Hank, help Hank. We're back to the last segment. Roll around. Hank Loeb after this. Let's talk about another form of health. In this case, we're talking about tracer minerals, chelated minerals. I'm getting more information about the utilization of minerals to improve plant growth. As much as we understand that it's important for cows, sometimes we tend to forget that these trace elements of plants also need the proper mineralization. So, cows, it's absolutely a given. For yourself, I started every day with the nitric oxide and tracer minerals. And now, plants also can benefit. So there's a lot of reasons. It doesn't matter what your involvement in living is. Maybe you're a farmer, maybe you're not. Tracer minerals matters to you. Go to the website, get more details, and you'll find exactly what I'm talking about at tracerminerals.com. Once again, that's Tracer Minerals. And from a cow standpoint, there are a lot of products that contain these minerals. Just demand it. tracerminerals.com.